RKC is proud to present the fourth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 40th episode, Holly Jolly Homicide.
A heavy snow had begun to fall all over the city. It was the kind of snow that you just can't shake off your shoes when you get inside. This was the kind of snow that sticks to your soul. A cold, derelict sort of snow that lets you know right up front, something bad is going to happen tonight. I sat in my office, going over some old case files, filling in bits and pieces my mind was too weary to remember the first time around, when I received a call that I was already half expecting to get. A Harry Flynn Detective Agency, Flynn speaking.
Flynn, we've got an emergency down on 57th and Grand Street.
I don't think you're supposed to call a detective during an emergency, Spinelli.
You know what I meant. Would using the word situation be better?
Well, is it happening currently?
Oh, no, it's a murder.
Well, then I don't think situation is being used in its proper context. You see, the word situation implies...
Oh, just get down here!
He slammed the receiver down like he had a personal vendetta against it. The place he'd told me wasn't all that far from my office, so I decided to hoof it out there. When I arrived, only two figures were silhouetted in a halo of snow and streetlights. Spinelli and... Spimosa. Howdy, Spinelli. A cold night. How's everything going today? Not like I don't see you at least three times a week, but still.
No time for small talk, Flynn.
Boy, why are you so businessy tonight? And where are Murdoch and Rogers? Probably still doesn't want to see me.
Well, actually, Rogers has been demoted, and I'm not quite sure where Murdoch is.
You're kidding.
No, I really don't know where Murdoch is.
No, I mean about the demotion. What happened?
Oh, well, apparently Rogers let a whole bunch of prisoners slip through his fingers. He says he doesn't know how they did it, but I'm just betting he left the door open and doesn't want to admit it. Seems like that kind of a guy. On a different note, you know his voice?
Yeah, what about it?
Not real.
No.
Mm-hmm. He actually sounds a bit like a carnival geek.
That's so odd.
Right?
But if he's not commissioner anymore, then who is?
You're looking at him. Again.
Really? Congrats.
Thank you. Apparently letting one prisoner escape is a more forgivable sin than 13.
Well, if you're the commissioner... Why is Spimosa still here?
Tell you the truth, I have no idea. Look, Harry, I know we're friends, but I really want to hold on to Commissioner this time, so no more on-the-job fraternizing, okay?
All right.
That includes witty banter.
I guess that's fine.
Spimosa, what are you doing?
Catching snowflakes on my tongue, Commissioner.
All right, now. What is it that you wanted me to see here?
Go ahead, take a look.
He walked me over to an area that I was under the impression was a large snowbank. In actuality, it was a tarp covering a body that had collected a large amount of snow. Spinelli removed it to reveal a man, face down, in a bright red Santa costume.
This is why I called you over. Eugene Clancy worked for the Kringle Collective.
Which is?
It's a service that pays for needy children's toys so their parents don't have to.
Silly, you don't need money to get Christmas toys. All you need is a pen, paper, and Santa's address, and Santa will bring you whatever you need.
How old are you?
28.
So you're 28 and you still believe in Santa Claus?
Yeah, doesn't everyone?
No. No right-thinking individual past age 10 believes in Santa Claus. I don't, do you, Spinelli?
Please, Harry, don't drag me into this.
But where's your Christmas spirit?
Probably right next to my gin and bourbon, am I right?
What did I say about witty banter?
You're right, you're absolutely right. So tell me what's so special about Eugene Clancy.
Well, apart from the collective, he was a bell ringer for many charitable services. He has no criminal record to speak of, and he was killed with this.
Spinelli handed me a piece of red and green wrapping ribbon. I took it from him and examined it. Seemed no different than any other ordinary piece of ribbon, I thought.
Also, I should tell you, Flynn, this isn't the first attack. This is the third in a series of bell ringer murders. Each bell ringer wearing the same costume murdered the same way.
So what's the verdict, Commissioner?
Well, I believe we have some sort of holiday killer on our hands.
You can't kill holidays, silly. Wah. Oh.
Now, anywho, we can't be certain, but it seems as though this fiend is not the biggest fan of Christmas.
Ah, so first we check the...
Hi there, folks. Elaine Merman, Corporate Executive Officer of the Northeastern Seaboard Censorship Committee. We pride ourselves on not letting any offensive material out on the air. The series of jokes you are about to hear were tasteless, offensive jokes that took a running start at the borderline of civility and crossed it. We at NESCC deemed this section of the broadcast to be unfit for radio, and therefore did what we do best, censored it. Well, I've taken up enough of your time now. Let's rejoin the program already in progress.
Enora!
too much.
I can't breathe!
So Flynn, what do you think?
I think I'm going to ask around, see what I can find out. Maybe these three people are related somehow. Maybe it was just random and they're easy targets.
Maybe Santa did it.
Okay, Spumosa. Santa did it. What a load of...
Flynn, are you all right?
Yeah, okay, I guess. Ooh, I think I banged my head pretty good.
Let me see. Well, there's no bump. I mean, I'm no doctor, but I think you look fine.
I feel sleepy.
Good. Go sleep. Rest can never do an injury wrong, specifically head injuries.
If you say so. I walked back to my office, head spinning. Partially because of the case at hand, and partially because of a massive head injury that I'm thinking is a lot worse than Spinelli realizes. I went back to my office and lied down in my chair to see if I could maybe get some quick R&R.
Harry? Move over, Toots. Flynn!
Ow! What was that for?
Nothing. It was preemptive. Anyways, she's here to see you.
Hi.
Well, hello yourself.
How was your day?
Better, now that it has you in it.
You're incorrigible.
If you'll excuse me, I think I'm gonna go vomit now.
All right. Merry Christmas!
Hello again. This is Elaine Merman. We give up.
Don't mind Deborah. She lost her Christmas spirit the same place she lost her soul.
Harry Flynn, these walls are paper thin and I can hear everything you're saying.
Well, good.
Good.
Well then, fine. So,
fine.
Where exactly were we?
I believe we were right about here.
She leaned into me, her eyes shimmering, lips looking just as captivating as the day I first saw her. I tilted her back, looked deep into her eyes, and completely dropped her.
Ow! You dropped me!
Sorry, I kind of have to take this. Harry Flynn Detective Agency, Flynn here.
Harry, has Spinelli gotten in touch with you yet about the holiday murders?
He and I was just jazzing about it down at the most recent site. What about it?
Well, I was thinking, what if for this case we give the whole job option I presented to you a test run?
I'm listening, Murdoch.
You see, you get a reduced salary from us and...
No dice.
But Flynn...
Listen, Robert, I'm not rejecting the offer. I'm just saying not this time. I need the money for the holidays. Alcohol doesn't buy itself, you know. Maybe next time I get hired by you guys. Lord knows, it happens often enough.
All right. Oh, and Flynn, one last thing.
Yeah?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Boy, did that put the events from the last year in perspective. 1 year ago, Murdoch showered me with a mixture of dirt and slush snow from one of his car tires, and now, he's trying everything he can to get me to work for him. Funny little place this world is, especially around this time of year. I've got to go now.
Oh, but why?
Haven't you ever heard that old adage? Themed homicidal rampage killers don't arrest themselves.
All right, just be careful out there, okay?
You know I will be. She pulled me by my tie and close for a quick yet passionate kiss. I'd be lying if I said after that I didn't feel like a 9-year-old boy made completely of gelatin.
Well, looks like she got over her hubby fast. And you, just a couple of weeks ago, you were sobbing like a drunken baby over Marla.
Who?
Wow. Just wow. I don't even have a response for that. Men.
I took off through my office building and went to my car. After brushing all the snow off her, I started her up. And we took off. I didn't have the address of the Kringle Collective. In truth, I didn't need it. I see it on my drive to the office every day, with its huge dark red and four-screen sign hanging over the entranceway. I parked in the only parking spot available at the time, a small stretch of 4x4 cleared concrete that was obviously clear for the fact that a different car had just left the area. I popped out and walked over to the doorway. Even here, of all places, they put one of those bell ringers. This one's Santa costume was much more tattered and torn. Clearly, this was a veteran Santa.
Give freely, and it shall be given unto you, sir. Would you like to give to the Kringle Coalition?
No, thanks. I'm here about Eugene Clancy.
Oh! It's a shame what happened to poor Eugene. Hi there. I'm Isaac Goldenberg. I'll tell you anything I knew. But, unfortunately, I didn't know Eugene very well.
That's all right. Is there anyone here who did?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. You're going to want to talk to Aunt Gemma. Right inside. Watch the toys.
Thanks,
Isaac.
Isaac. I slipped him 10 cents. I know, not much, but better than nothing. I walked inside and stood in awe-filled rapture at all the various mountains and walls of toys. Eventually, a kind-looking woman with large hips and a plain manner about her came up.
Hello, sir. My name's Germaine, but everybody calls me Aunt Gemma for short. Is there anything I could do for you?
Yes, ma'am, there is. My name's Harry Flynn. I'm a detective looking into the murder of Mr. Eugene Clancy. Do you know anything that could possibly help us conduct our investigations further?
Gee, well, Eugene was always a quiet fellow. Never made any waves, but not in a withdrawn way. He was just... quiet. It wasn't like he was bitter or anything. Just quiet, sweet, the kind of man who'd only harm a fly if that fly had just killed your family.
Does this association have any enemies?
Mr. Flynn, we're a non-profit organization. I don't think we'll have cutthroat business competition. We work in tandem with all the area charities.
I see. Well, thank you, Aunt. I ran outside and looked at the place where Isaac had been. Sure enough, he was slumped on the ground, and around his neck was a red and green ribbon all tied up in a big bow.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of Holly Jolly Homicide, but first, a word from our sponsor.
And now, to ring in the holiday season, a special announcement from the man in red himself, Kris Kringle!
Ho, ho, ho! Well, hello, boys and girls. This is Santa Claus, and I have a very important message for your mommies and daddies. But I need you to be good little children and leave the room. Ho, ho, ho! Now, you don't want to ruin the Christmas morning surprise, do you? Then be good little children and run along. Ho, ho, ho! Okay, are they gone? Good. Okay, folks. Here's the deal. Everyone knows at this time of year, the elves and I are up at the North Pole and are very busy making toys for all the world's good little girls and boys. But what most people don't know is that during the off-season, from January through March, Santa's Workshop becomes the world's second-largest manufacturer of military armaments and weapons of mass destruction. That's right. One of FDR's secret New Deal programs provides millions of dollars in federal funding to outsource weapon production to North Pole elves. With the growing supply shortages across the U.S. as it prepares for the building conflict in Europe, Santa's a little short on raw materials. But with your help, by sending unwanted Christmas excesses to the North Pole, our elf scientists can use their holiday magic and millions of dollars in chemical and munition research to convert those unwanted holiday effects into arms for our boys in the army. Don't know what to do with those empty stockings and half-drunk bottles of spiced rum? Send them to the North Pole and my elves will convert them into high-yield Molotov cocktails. Those Nazi stormtroopers will hang their stockings and say their prayers for sure, because Santa Claus is coming to town with enough explosive power to blow a panzer! Tired of getting fruitcake for Christmas that you know you'll never eat? Our Holly Jolly Chemical Weapons Research Department can convert those fruitcakes into an incendiary compound denser than military-grade Composition C. And everyone knows how prickly your underwatered pine and spruce Christmas trees can get. Well, send those dried-out trees to the North Pole, and we'll convert those needles into flesh-piercing shrapnel for Santa's snow globes disguised grenades of death. So send these items and more to Santa Claus, North Pole. Attention, Project Santa Slays, spelled S-L-A-Y-S. Oh, and federal regulations require me to inform you of some of our more recent accidents in Santa's magical nuclear fission research department. Many of our reindeer test subjects died from radiation poisoning, and the only specimen that did survive has been permanently disfigured with a glowing, radioactive, shiny nose. For safety reasons, we're keeping him isolated from the rest of the test subjects. He's not even allowed to participate in any of the North Pole reindeer war games. So send all your unwanted Yuletide leftovers up north to me. Trust me, you don't want to be on this particular naughty list. Warning, North Pole candy canes may cause polio. We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I called up Spinelli about Isaac's murder, and he came to the Kringle Collective building as fast as he could. We emptied out one of the Kringle Collective's closets and used it as a makeshift conference room. So he's in the area, and he's willing to strike at one of the home organizations. He's got moxie, that's for sure.
Harry, what automatically makes the killer a he?
Touché.
Look, this person is obviously some sort of psychotic holiday hater.
Who strangles people to death with a Christmas ribbon, so they have a bit of a penchant for the ironic.
But how do we get him?
Aha!
You thought of something?
No, you're gender stereotyping too.
Oh yeah, I did, didn't I? Whoopsie doodle. Anywho, how are we going to stop him?
Aha!
Oh, did I do it again?
No, I just... Well, yes, actually you did. But I thought of a way to catch this guy. Person.
How?
I told Spinelli about a case I did a few years ago, drawing a notorious gangster out into the open, and how, through setting up the perfect ploy, we had captured him. Spinelli then told me that is what is commonly referred to as a sting operation, and is a fairly common law enforcement occurrence. With no time to feel foolish, he and I began tediously planning out what would be this holiday homicidal maniac's demise.
Alright, is everyone in position?
So we're just supposed to stand here and ring the bell a lot?
Yep. The beauty of this plan is in its simplicity.
You draw him out into the open, and we catch him. Any questions, Rogers?
So do we...
Rogers, we all know about the voice. You don't have to hide anymore.
Good, because that was starting to kill my throat. So do you want us to do anything in retaliation?
Good question, Oscar.
No, under no circumstances are you to react in any way. We need this to be authentic. All right? places.
So Most and Rogers went to their respective bell-tolling kettles, set adjacent to a long, dark, endless alley. I saw a fat man in a large trench coat and fedora emerge from the alley and move into place behind Rogers. Between his two gloved hands were a piece of red and green ribbon. Before he could get it around Roger's neck, I jumped out of the shadows, piece in hand. All right, big guy, that's good right there. Just stay where you are. He did not, in fact, stay where he was. Far from it. With a graceful agility that anyone over 250 pounds shouldn't have, he ducked down an alleyway and out of the immediate sight. I ran in, shooting blindly first and asking questions blindly later. Where are you? Damn it, I know you're here. I saw something move in the darkness. Instinctively, I fired a shot. I ended up wasting my last bullet on the area where an alley cat had just been. However, in doing so, I illuminated the entire area and was able to see where the big man was. I pounced. Ugh. Why don't you tell me why you hate Christmas so much, huh? You have a hit out on these guys?
Let go of me!
That's it, isn't it? You have a hit out on these people. You're an assassin. Well, just who else do you have a hit on?
On Dasher, on Dancer, on Prancer and Vixen!
Wow, I can't believe you're being so suddenly compliant.
On Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen!
I felt the ground begin to rapidly soar away from my feet. It was only then that I realized that we had somehow gotten inside of an ornately carved dark red and gold colored sled. I looked in front of the sled and saw, to my wonder and amazement, 8 majestic reindeer, all moving their hooves as if they were walking on solid ground. What the hell is all this, then?
What this is,
said the large figure next to me,
is you being permanently placed on the naughty list.
Grr! It was at this point that the figure removed his fedora and trench coat to reveal a large man with a full snow-white beard and long, flowing snow-white hair. His cheeks were extremely rosy. He had on standard dress wear, a white button-up shirt, black tie, wingtips, and suspenders, but there was no mistaking who he was. Santa Claus.
Hup!
Ah! His sleigh took off like a rock, pushing me backwards from the sheer force of the G's. I was knocked out cold. When I woke up, I was in front of an old-style log cabin out on what seemed to be endless frozen tundra. The cabin seemed warm and inviting. I heard a noise from behind me. I turned around to see not only the reindeer from the sled, but what was by far the biggest industrial complex that has ever existed. Thick black smoke poured out of its various chimneys and polluted all the falling snow. I felt a thick, meaty hand fall upon my shoulder.
Well, Charles Harold Flynn, Jr., you've been a very, very bad boy this year.
Santa? I must have hit my head harder than I thought.
Step into my office.
He was bundled up in more traditional garb. Well, if not traditional, a step in the right direction. A long red robe with white trim and the famous Santa cap. He sat me down in an empty rocking chair.
Hot cocoa? Tea?
No, thank you. I...
Bourbon?
Santa drinks bourbon.
You bet you. What else do you think puts the spirit in Christmas spirit?
You know, I just made a similar joke earlier.
All right, rein in your reindeers, kid. Not that uncommon of a joke.
Oh. All right, Santa.
Please, that's the moniker the marketing boys whipped up for me. Call me Chris.
So, you exist?
Of course!
Well, then why did my parents tell me you didn't?
Oh, that's an easy one. Magic!
Magic?
Yes, is there an echo in here? I provide the presents up until a certain age. Then, one year, I wipe the mind of the parents who sat idly by, watching me do the work, and replace their memory with a false one of them going out and buying all the presents. Then, when the children discover that there is no Santa, the parents pick it up, and I don't have to work nearly as hard.
Excuse me, Mr. Kringle. I need your signature on this.
Certainly. Oh, there you are.
But why provide toys for them if you eventually stop giving?
I'll tell you why. Patents. The North Pole is the single largest toy-making conglomerate that has ever existed. As such, we have such a staggering number of patents that we can't keep an accurate count. You know the wooden toy train?
Who doesn't?
Us. How about the teddy bear?
Really? You created it?
Yes, sir, trying to cash in on some of that Teddy Roosevelt hype. Personally, I thought it was a misfire, but hey, that's why I have these guys.
Hello! Hey, a bubby elf!
Anyway, we give out free demos of the toys, which cause them to go ballistic across the nation. Soon everyone wants the toy for Christmas they didn't get. I call it the snow is always whiter principle. The toys are purchased at roughly 10 times the cost it is to make them, and we, the designers, get all the royalties.
Is that how you fund everything here?
Holly no! It's advertising. I'm the spokesman for no less than 52 companies. That's the good part about having a corporate image. Here, would you like a Coke?
No, thanks. Oh.
Great little things. You know, I used to have to down food like a glutton to keep my signature weight on. Now, with these little babies, it's like magic. Just 6 a day and I can remain fat indefinitely. Well, how about a lucky strike?
No, I don't. Wait, Santa smokes cigarettes?
Sure do. Had to for a promo pic, they wanted me to light it up, and I've been hooked ever since.
It's that smooth, fruity flavor that gets you. They toast it instead of curing it. That's what makes the,
You're getting off topic. You were saying about how you keep this place running.
Oh, yes. Also, we have this little arms-dealing side project.
You sell weapons?
Of course!
Santa, Chris, you're not at all like I assumed you'd be.
Well, kid, that's the thing about assumptions. You don't do them. Oh, you see what I did there?
Okay, look. I'm just going to ask you straight. Did you or did you not kill those ringers?
Of course I did!
You did?
Yeah! I copyrighted the Santa image! Those no-goodniks thought they could get away with defaming it. They were dead wrong. Really, they were wrong. Now they're dead.
They were good people. They were fully committed to the lie that you falsely propagate. True, unabashed generosity and self-sacrifice.
So too bad for them.
But why tell me all this?
Because I'm going to end you the same way I ended those clowns.
He pulled out a long length of red and green ribbon. Immediately, I bolted up and out into the cold, unforgiving terrain outside. Black snow now fell on me with each passing step. I ran until I couldn't feel my legs, thinking that would be enough.
Nice try, Flynn!
He dived out of nowhere, seemingly from the sky, and wrapped his ribbon around my neck. I could feel the world slipping. Slipping.
Flynn!
I came to in my office chair, confused and frightened, Deborah standing over me.
Harry, you've been passed out on that chair for nearly a whole day. Spinelli and Murdoch have been calling you for hours now.
I felt something in my hand. I looked down and found that I was still holding the bourbon that Santa had given me in his workshop. Then it wasn't a dream. I passed out. When I came to, I was in a hospital bed, surrounded by Spinelli, Murdoch, and Deborah, along with a nurse.
Well, how are we doing, Mr. Flynn?
What?
Apparently that bump you had at the site of the crime gave you a concussion.
Whoopsie doodle.
And the holiday killer has been found and arrested. He actually admitted to it himself.
But Santa's bourbon...
Oh, that? You make yourself drinks in your sleep all the time.
Wow, then. I guess my brain really doesn't like Christmas. Everyone left the room, leaving me alone with my thoughts.
Mr. Flynn?
Yes?
You have a package.
He handed me a brown paper box with twine wrapping. I opened it up and found 6 bullets and a small note card saying, "To make up for the one you shot at me. Next time you won't be so lucky. CC." Wow. Wow. Chuck, you called it a Christmas episode? That was incredibly depressing.
I'm sorry, I was under a lot of stress when I was writing.
What the hell do we pay you for?
What the hell do you pay me for?
Well, you used the same joke last episode. What is this? This isn't funny, I don't understand the...
Merry Christmas, everyone!
And a Happy New Year, Bobby Toots!
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, Holly Jolly Homicide, was written by David and Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Officer Spimosa, Elaine, Deborah, and Elf. Christopher Gatpo as Isaac, Officer Rogers, and Elf. Samuel Groom as Nurse and Elf. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn and Elf. Drake Nestor as Murdoch, Commercial Announcer, and Elf. And Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer Spinelli and Santa Claus. Special guest star Kara Medwick as Aunt Gemma, Veronica, and Elf. And Bobby Toots as himself. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci as performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums, and trumpet. Terrence Karn on accordion and Luis Obregon on viola with sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes.